Can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Whether you want to
buy, buy, buy
in a bear market or
sell, sell, sell
in a bull market, Jim Cramer can help you become a better investor. Mad Money, weeknights 6 Eastern. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
We're just never quite ready now.
There's
a major office renovation going on, and so we've lost all our desk space. And so basically everything you bring into the office, you have to carry with you everywhere you go. And like I can't printer, one of the printers out there isn't working. And
so
you got to print everything, reprint everything up and just moving stuff around. And the next thing I know, I hear the open music and I'm like, I'm not ready yet.
No, I haven't even logged onto a computer
still
here yet.
Trying to get my headset plugged in, but
it's okay.
How are you today?
I'm okay.
Yeah.
Another win last night for the Pistons. 5 in a row for them.
They're we'll get to them a little bit later on. I mean,
like
you know, it's a nice developing story.
It is a nice developing story. So,
good for them and some observations about this team.
And then I woke up this morning and start going through some prep work and come across a Free Press article that I did not like one bit.
Spielman story?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's it's frustrating in this regard. And I don't know quite how to properly characterize how important this is. But there's a chance that the Detroit Lions lose both coordinators. There's no telling if those coordinators then proceed to take coaches with them. You know, if Aaron Glenn is raving about how Calvin Shepard is ready to be a defensive coordinator and Aaron Glenn becomes a head coach, does Calvin Shepard become his defensive coordinator?
Only if the Lions don't want him to be their defensive coordinator.
Which is possible. Would Ben Johnson make Mark Brunell his offensive coordinator? Then you start getting into yesterday, you're talking about John Dorsey being gone as a possibility. And now we see Chris Spielman is interviewing for the head coach or for the GM position with the New York Jets.
And should not be surprised at all. And yet I was a little surprised. And then I was pissed at myself for not thinking about Spielman.
Well, here's the thing about this. If there's anyone in the organization that is dedicated to being a lifer, it's Chris Spielman. Now, that doesn't mean there's anything wrong with Chris Spielman seeking other opportunities.
Right.
But out of all the people that we have to be worried about, and I mean, Spielman would be the guy who I would think would be least likely or most influenced by wanting to be in the Detroit Lions organization.
I would agree with that because it feels like, and again, this is our speculation, but it feels like this is the guy that really, you know, got it started because Sheila turned to him and said, hey, what's your thoughts? And then he unleashed what his thoughts were. That's our speculation on how things went. And, you know, he's ours. It's our guy. This is organically Detroit because they drafted him back in, you know, 1988 or whatever it was. That's our guy. Now, did he spend time with a couple other organizations after he left the Lions with an injury? Yeah, he did. And boy, we were glad to get him back, you know, and it's been so refreshing having him back with the organization. And then to read this morning that the Jets want to interview him for their GM job. I'm like, oh no, because I think he'd be a spectacular choice. You know, he's been behind the scenes for years. His brother was a successful general manager, so he always had that kind of insight and knows the preparation and all that stuff. And look, maybe because he hasn't been a GM before, maybe that's going to be his downfall with this possibility of a job that's going to, you know, ultimately X him out. But, you know, you got to take a chance on somebody at some point, like the Lions did on Brad Holmes, and they hit. And if I'm the Jets and I'm like, oh, yeah, what about Chris Spielman?
Well, what's interesting about
Spielman, it's almost like, damn it!
I'm not even sure what Spielman does.
Right. We don't really know.
And I don't want to lose him.
No, not at all. I feel like he's extraordinarily valuable. He's integral.
Okay.
In this organization. And there might be a lot of stuff that's just not tangible, but it's you just say Spielman and it screams credibility.
So you go offensive coordinator, defensive coordinator, the possibility of losing position coaches. You mentioned John Dorsey, who could get plucked. He's a veteran NFL front office guy who works in player personnel. Now Chris Spielman might be gone. He is listed as the special assistant to the president. He's interviewing with the Jets. Might be gone is probably strong. I probably shouldn't say might be gone. He's interviewing for another job.
And to our knowledge, nobody's talked to John Dorsey. It's just a name I brought up because I thought this would be probably a guy that I would target if I were another team.
Yeah, when you brought up John Dorsey yesterday, the name that came to my mind, Gator, was Ray Agnew. He's the assistant GM. Why wouldn't he be on someone's radar or someone's list to interview? Yep. No one's off limits when you're this good, right? When you're building something that the entire league is taking notice of, no one, I mean, people are going to come by and try to pick you off, man. No one is off limits, guys.
Do you remember a year ago, didn't somebody make a run at Dizner?
Yeah.
I remember that. Like it was, quick Google search.
It wasn't the NFL, was it?
Hold on for a second. AFC team predicted to poach front office exec from the Lions and hire Ben Johnson. That's not a thing. Detroit Lions COO Mike Dizner will return to team.
Yeah,
he withdrew his name for consideration with the Panthers job. Okay, so got it. We understand that we have, for the first time in our lives, the Detroit Lions are the model franchise
that
people are trying to pluck
everybody.
We haven't won a Super Bowl. Can you just leave us alone and then pluck away? But let the Lions, with the core of people that everybody wants now, can't we at least get one of those?
Well, they can. And you know, nobody's going to get hired yet. And then as we get, get closer and closer to the Lions, well, actually playing games.
What do you mean by that?
Well, nobody's going to hire Ben Johnson this weekend because they did the interview with him. It's not going to happen this weekend.
They can.
They won't.
Why?
Because it's not how it works, Doug. You know that's not how it works.
Actually, no. People take jobs that they leave for all the time before their season is done.
Yeah, I think you go through multiple interviews. I just don't think it happens this weekend. If a team wants to get him, the Bears want to get him, because guess who's number one odds to land a Bears job again? It's no longer Cliff Kingsbury.
What happened?
I don't know, but it's Ben Johnson now. As things have shifted with the addition of the Raiders looking for a new head coach. So the odds are now that Ben Johnson's the number one guy in Chicago. I just don't think it happens this weekend. I think the Bears, because I saw a list the other day reported, it was like 15 names long that the Bears are scheduling interviews with. They're doing their due diligence. They're going to turn over every stone that they can. And I imagine that lots of teams are taking that approach. I just think it's way too early to go ahead and name a guy this weekend for a guy who's probably really preoccupied right now. I would imagine, you know, I think if you want Ben Johnson, maybe it just behooves you to wait it out until the season ends.
Well,
see what he's there? Come on, Doug. See what I'm saying? Come on, Doug. Come on.
I mean, you're selling it hard, but I don't. This is starting to concern me a little bit.
Yeah, but what's
concerning a little bit?
Yeah, what?
All of the job. What I want here is to win a Super Bowl, okay?
Right.
And none of this impacts this year's kick at the can because nobody's going to leave.
Right.
You know, and if Chris Spielman leaves now, it doesn't really impact this year's kick at the can either.
Correct.
But we finally have done so good. We finally have this thing set up where and I don't want to see it get raided. I don't know what the tolerances are here, how much they can withstand before this really starts to concern me.
We all had to expect this. This is what happens in really good organizations, is that you set a template, you follow it through, and just as you're starting to see the returns, I mean, it's back-to-back NFC North Division titles. They went from, you know, whatever they were last year, the four seed or whatever it was, to now they're the number one seed. It's progression. It's progression every year. They've gotten better. It only makes sense that teams are going to look around and say, oh, what are they doing? Oh, my God, they're doing things really well. They draft well. They coach well. Their coordinators are really good. They get hurt. They overcome adversity. They don't worry about the obstacles or the challenges. They just knock them down. How do we emulate that? It's going to happen. What you hope doesn't happen, and what my concern is with all this, I don't worry so much about the coordinators leaving. If they're leaving, it's their choice. It's their choice to leave. So I think there are in-house people that could take over those jobs and be fine, or if they want to go outside the organization, they'll be fine with that. I'm not worried about that. What I am worried about, the only concern I have, is that all of this can somehow be a distraction and somehow their eyes are no longer on the prize because, you know, guys like us will ask Jared Goff on the interview, hey, did you see what happened to Ben Johnson? And he's quick to have the answer. And it's not going to stop with us. It'll continue on. Everybody's going to, hey, you know, Ben Johnson just finished four interviews. You worry? These guys are going to hear the same questions over and over again. And at some point, they're going to get pissed. And does it serve as a distraction? And this is where Dan Campbell comes in to try to impress upon everybody, do not let this be a distraction. This is outside stuff, and what happens, happens. But we're all focused on the same goal here, winning the next game and achieving our ultimate goal of winning the Super Bowl.
Yeah, look, I'm concerned about losing a bunch of people. I'm not concerned about losing any individual. You know, my guess is they're going to lose somebody. I think that's a pretty safe assumption. And what I'm getting concerned is lose both coordinators, lose assistant coach, lose assistant GM, lose another, you know, lose a Chris Spielman. You take away a big chunk of what they have done, and I don't want this to be one kick at the can. That's tomorrow's problem. Because I think
that's February's problem.
Yeah, and that's an issue that's down the road. But it felt like we had this thing set up to roll for a while, and it doesn't mean we're doomed. Okay, don't get me wrong. I just think that's a lot. That's a big hit if they start losing that many people.
I think you're concerned about the volume.
Yep.
Right. I think you know, Doug, that this happens.
Yep.
But it's kind of like teams get chipped away at, but you feel like they're coming after everybody.
They're coming after everybody. after everybody.
You guys probably forgot this. They lost someone last year to the Commanders. Remember, they lost one of their scout guys, one of the top scout guys under Brad Holmes.
Yeah.
And so that was just one guy, though. I think this year, though, I mean, when you get the number one seed and you're the favorite, yeah, everyone's coming after your guys.
248-539-9797. Does this stuff bother you? Are you uncomfortable? Who's the guy you most don't want to lose? Feels like everybody's coming after all our guys. Got the Blitz thingy today at 10:30. 97.1 The Ticket.
Well, it is really cold out there. You want to make sure that your furnace is working properly, that your pipes aren't in danger of freezing, because all that stuff is just absolutely horror stories. They're nightmares. It happens all the time. This is why you see red, white, and blue trucks everywhere. And they belong to the awesome folks over at Birmingham Plumbing, Heating, and Cooling. If you have any issue with that right now, if your house isn't quite getting as hot as you want it to be, or like I said, if you're worried about those pipes, make sure you give them a call. These guys are awesome. They've helped me out of my house a couple of times. I couldn't be happier. And you want to make sure your 2025 is started off right. But don't just take my word for it. You can check out their A+ rating from the Better Business Bureau. Or how about some of those 5-star reviews they have on Google? They are flooded with Google 5-star reviews. So whether it's your furnace or your water heater or boiler or water filtration, schedule an appointment online at BirminghamPlumbingCO.com. Birmingham Plumbing, Heating, and Cooling, your Metro Detroit boiler experts.
look, over the years, you do this long enough, and you start to understand the scouting report on yourself. And then this is another one of those mornings where I'm sure some people are, there goes Doug being a whiny little bitch again. But I just, they haven't even won a Super Bowl, and already they're coming after all our guys.
Ken, get rid of all those texts. We don't need it. Doug just admitted it.
All right, Doug, I just sent you a bunch of whiny little bitch texts. Don't read those.
Okay. But, you know, they got a great chance to win Super Bowls, right? And the people in charge are really, really competent. They've locked up Brad Holmes. They've locked up Dan Campbell, and that's the most important thing. And they've locked up their best players. And maybe that's why I should relax, is because at the end of the day, those are the most important positions, the GM, the coach, and the roster. But the head coach, but losing the coordinators. I mean, if I told you right now, Aaron Glenn and Ben Johnson are coming back, it would feel like reason to celebrate. That's how important it is. And if they come back, I mean, they still could lose some position coaches, but those position coaches are less likely to go and become part of those staffs and coordinator roles or assistant head coach roles or whatever the promotion that they would get. But when you start digging into Dorsey was you, to be fair, that wasn't something that has been reported. You brought it up that it's a fear. Kang brought up Ray Agnew. Carolina already made a run at Mike Disner. And now Chris Spielman is interviewing for the Jets job. Everybody has a right to look out for their own best interest and their family's best interest. The one guy, though, that feels like he'd be a lifer is Spielman. That's the one guy that feels like being a Detroit Lion and in the Lions organization is in his DNA. And that's no criticism of him for taking this interview.
Well, no. And I mean, I agree and I disagree with that statement about him seeming like he's a lifer. And we all feel very protective about him because of his playing career here and what a legend he is for the way that he played as a Detroit Lion. But at the same time, he also played for a couple other organizations after he left the Lions. We all love him here because he's part of it. He's with the Lions now. But, you know, he has been living in Ohio for years, right? And he was a radio host in Ohio and had a college football analyst career. And he has not been a lifer with the Lions. As much as we want him to be and we think that he is, he wasn't. I love Chris Spielman. I don't want him to go. And that one really bummed me out when I read that story today. But at the same time, I also think to myself, my God, it makes a ton of sense. If you're another organization, come sniffing around and, you know, come to the source. See if you can get that guy, or at least, you know, have that guy be a consultant, whatever it is you're doing. They're interviewing for a GM job. And good for Chris, if that's what he wants. You know, I don't know what he wants, but if he's taking the interview, seems like that's what he wants.
Well, that's the thing, Gator. I think some people thought that Spielman was kind of a lifer here. You know, maybe not everybody, but some people. But on top of that is, I'm not sure everyone knew, because they don't know Chris Spielman, but I don't even think that it crossed their mind that he had aspirations of being a GM or a president, you know? And then so when you see and you read the news that he's going to interview with the Jets, you're like, what? I didn't see this coming. Like, I didn't know he wanted to. And it made me think about Ben Johnson when he was asked a couple weeks ago about head coaching positions. And he said, you know, sometimes every man has a desire and an aspiration to find out what he has and what he's made of. And Chris Spielman sounds like he might have that as well. He sees John Lynch and other former players that he played against and goes, hey, I can do this too.
I mean,
I want to do this.
Let me ask you this question. It's a bit rhetorical, but do you think Chris Spielman likes taking on challenges?
Yes.
Okay. I mean, it shouldn't come as a surprise. And yet I am a little initially surprised. And now the shock is kind of wearing off. I'm like, okay, this is the cost of doing business when you're a really good organization, and you have really good people that you're not going to be able to hang on to them. It just doesn't happen. Unless they're of advanced age, it's not going to happen.
Adam Schefter just put out this tweet that the Jacksonville Jaguars have reached out and contacted and are expected to interview Rory to be their alternate mascot. I mean, leave us alone! Leave us alone!
Oh, dog.
Let's go to Paul here on 97.1 The Ticket. Hi, Paul.
Hey. You know what? I am excited that this is all going on. I know it sounds like doom and gloom because we're going to lose all our people, but actually it's just exuding to the health of not only our coaching staff but of our executive branch of this organization. It's invigorating. This is fantastic news. And then on top of it, you know, Doug, if you don't let go of this a little bit, you're going to be robbed of the joy of us winning this Super Bowl.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, there's no doubt that I can completely ruin this thing. And I'm
thank you for bringing that up.
So let go.
Yeah, I probably should. I did this after remember when Hutch got hurt, and I spent Monday and Tuesday whining because I couldn't believe, of course, he got hurt.
Right. This team is destiny.
Yep. This team in the capsule of 2025 here, the January 2025 and February 2020, the 2024 season is ready to win a Super Bowl, and I hope that they can follow through on that.
You know what, Doug? It's okay.
You're going to.
It's okay to let your oldest pay for his phone. It's okay. It's baby steps.
Yeah. This is all baby steps.
It's all connected.
The volume.
You're not ready to let go. No. You don't want the Lions to let go.
The volume of what they may lose is scary to me. Chris in Flint. Hi, Chris.
Hey, guys. So I listen to a lot of New York sports radio as well as you guys. The name that keeps coming up for the Jets GM is Mike Borgonzi from the Chiefs.
Take him.
And the thought is they'll bring Matt Nagy with them. Obviously, all the success he did have in Chicago, he was a double doink away from knocking out the Eagles in the playoffs. So they think that's the case, and possibly Brian Flores would be the other coach.
Well, they're not scheduled to interview Flores. They've interviewed already Nagy, Ron Rivera, Rex Ryan, and Mike Vrabel. This, according to Rich Camino.
Correct.
They can interview this week Steve Spagnuolo and next week Joe Brady. They're going to interview Aaron Glenn today.
Yeah,
so Flores,
yeah, Aaron
name
Glenn
is
on the list. Okay, so Flores' name came up this morning on the show, who they're going to try to talk to as well.
Well, he might be really available after this weekend if the Vikings, obviously, if they lose.
Absolutely. But out of the two that I fear losing the most, I really do think it's Aaron Glenn, just because how he's pieced all this together with all the injuries. I think if Ben Johnson leaves and he takes a couple guys like Brunell or whatever, I'm not going to lie, I'm a little bit of a fanboy for him. He's my favorite player of all time. But Antoine Randall, I think he could probably step in there and call some plays too. But I love you guys. You guys have a great show, and go Irish.
I actually agree with you on that.
Go Irish?
Well, I think the Irish are going to win.
And he was rooting for the Irish.
Yeah, it's a tough one to pick who you're rooting for.
Is it?
Yeah, it is for me.
Really? But it's B1G. You're all B1G. Even when Ohio
B1G,
State plays, you're
and
B1G.
I have some Penn State friends that I really, really like, and I'd be happy for them. But I have Notre Dame friends that I really, really like too. And so, and I think Notre Dame, because I'm going to pick Notre Dame on the air later today. No spoilers here, but I am going to pick them. I'll find myself rooting for them for my pick, but yeah, I think did you hear what James Franklin did at the Orange Bowl press conference?
No, I can't wait.
And just, he's sitting there with Marcus Freeman, and he basically just starts trashing Notre Dame for being an independent. Trashing might be strong, but talking about how they have this built-in advantage and all this stuff. And apparently Marcus Freeman like shut down after that. Like there was, you know how they, four bowl games, they put two coaches at the podium, and I'm like, yeah, it's, I don't even know what it has to do with the game and why he went off, but apparently he went off about it. And he just makes everything awkward.
Cause he is, yeah, he's a strange bird. I'm not a fan of him, but you know, I'm also no fan of Notre Dame. I thought
this is
for
not
sure,
my proudest moment, but yeah,
I thought Notre Dame was like your number two behind Ohio State, who you dislike.
No, will get to, well, I think they try to follow the rules. I think they're mostly a clean program.
I like my. Here's what's tough for me is I really like Marcus Freeman.
Marcus Freeman's very likable, and he's really got the epic hairline that resembles the equator.
Yeah. And I root for Spindler's kid too. And then
that's right, Spin Dog's kid plays for them. All right, let's get to the Blitz thingy next. 97.1 The Ticket. All right, throughout the NFL season on Thursdays, we do a blitz thingy, swing around a league. Gator, are you ready?
I am.
All right, let's get to the blitz. Heads or tails?
Heads.
Gator calls heads. Heads it is. You want to receive or defer?
I will receive.
All right. Didn't sound like you're so sure about that, man. Hope you're ready. Here we go. This is the wild card weekend version, guys. All right. So speaking of which, the first question is, which is the best wild card matchup this weekend?
Excellent question, Kang. Always good to butter up the host first. I would say it's the Packers and the Eagles. Sunday afternoon, look, both quarterbacks are a little bit banged up, but both teams, frankly, their ceilings for both teams are really high. I like both of these football teams. It's going to be a tough game, but it's a good offense versus a good defense on both sides, really. Just who's got the better defense? I think Philadelphia has a better defense when it comes down to it. And it feels like Philadelphia's got more experience too. But is Saquon Barkley going to be the real difference maker in this game? Because that young man, he could very well be an MVP guy, and he's not getting the talk anymore because the quarterbacks are. I like this matchup with these two teams, Philadelphia. And, of course, we locally have a ton of interest. Wouldn't it be great to see the Packers do what they did last year, which is walk into a visiting stadium and just tear the heart out of that franchise and then, you know, get to play another week? We would love that here in Detroit if the Packers took care of business against Philadelphia. Unfortunately, as we know here, the Packers are incapable of helping Detroit out.
Most excellent question, Kang.
Get off my job.
I'm on Kang's job.
Gator's bit, man. Come on.
So, look, I guess it depends on what your definition of best is. Does best mean the closest game? Does best mean lots of points? Does best mean local interest? Does best mean upset? I'm just going to give a little sidebar here before I get to my answer. I think Tomlin might have something in store for Lamar and Derrick Henry and the Ravens. I watch Mike Tomlin and that Steelers team.
We can get more to that later.
Yeah. But I agree with you. I think it's Eagles-Packers. Here's the thing about it, because I'm looking at it from a local perspective. Which game do I care about most? And the game I care about most is the Packers and the Eagles, because the Green Bay Packers could do some heavy lifting for the Detroit Lions, and it's looking like it's more possible with Jalen Hurts' situation. Yes, he was on the practice field yesterday, but no, he has not been out of concussion protocol yet. There are five steps part of the NFL's concussion protocol return to play process. And if you fail one of them, you go back to the first. He has not been cleared to play yet. So while he was out on the field, he didn't really go through a full practice. And yeah, the idea that the Packers could do some heavy lifting for Detroit again, because they did it last year. They beat Dallas, which gave Detroit a home game. So I think Green Bay could do it again and knock off the number two seed.
Yeah, you're right, Doug. It does depend on what your definition of best is for the best wild card matchup this weekend. I'm going with the most entertaining, and I think the most entertaining game this weekend is going to be the Minnesota Vikings versus the LA Rams. I just think a 14-2 team that's got to go on the road, they're a good team, and they're actually the favorite in this if you're going to be betting in this game at all. You got Matthew Stafford and Sean McVay versus Brian Flores and that Vikings defense. You got Kevin O'Connell going against his good buddy, Sean McVay. You know, I think there's a lot of storylines there. I think you got two solid teams here. I think it's going to be a really good matchup. And I was going to mention something about them being in L.A. and supposed to be a home game for the Rams, which never it feels like it never really is. But this game actually might be moved to Arizona because of the fires, unfortunately. But other than that, putting that aside, I just think that the entertainment on the field is going to make this the best matchup this weekend. All right, guys, should the Vikings bring back Sam Darnold next year and trade J.J. McCarthy, or move on from Sam Darnold and just go with J.J. McCarthy?
So in this world, we are so easily become prisoners of what our eyes showed us last. And if that's the case, 18 for 41 against a depleted Lions defense is a tough pill to swallow for Darnold. Honestly, I think it depends on how Darnold looks in the playoffs. Because if he follows up the Lions dud with a second big game, poor performance, I'd let Darnold hit the market. And by that, I mean, I wouldn't make him some massive he can't refuse an offer before he becomes a free agent. I'd make him an offer, but I'm not going to cripple my franchise to keep him because I don't know if I can commit to him as the quarterback if he follows up that poor performance against the Lions with another poor performance in the playoffs. If he does follow it up that way, then I make it an open competition. I make him a competitive-ish offer, but I don't sweat it if he goes to the open market and signs elsewhere.
Well, I agree with a lot of what you had to say, but it totally depends on what happens in the playoffs. I mean, if the Lions did expose him, they're not going to want him back. And look, I don't like either quarterback situation with Minnesota. I don't like Darnold, as you know, and I'm not a J.J. McCarthy guy. But I sure wouldn't commit long-term and money to Sam Darnold. If you want to get something done short term, you can go ahead and do that and let the young kids sit down and rest and watch from the sidelines as need be. But at least you have the unknown with JJ. I feel like you already know what you got with Sam Darnold. And, you know, was his ceiling already reached during the regular season? And now he's exposed again for being Sam Darnold.
Yeah, I mean, Sam Darnold, I almost called him McDarnold. Sam Darnold may as well be playing for his Vikings job this weekend. But I know he might have peaked in the regular season, Gator, but I can't ignore what he did in the regular season.
Great regular season.
It was a great regular season. I think what you do is you franchise him, and I know it's committing a lot of money, but it's only 1 year at least. You franchise him, and you keep JJ, and you keep developing JJ. Because I think he's still, I know it's just a shot of him in shorts and a t-shirt essentially, but he didn't look like he gained any weight except for more hair. Like this, he does not look ready. He doesn't look like an NFL quarterback yet. Doesn't mean he won't be one eventually, but I think everyone in this league is so in a hurry to rush a rookie quarterback or a young quarterback to play when sometimes it's okay to sit and learn and develop. And I think that's what they should do with J.J. McCarthy. Franchise Sam Darnold, bring him back next year. If it doesn't work out, you do have J.J. McCarthy there to pick it up, hopefully. All right, it feels like this topic has been done over a million times this year, debated a million times, and I've been told it has been over a million times. But finally, guys, in the end now, who will win the NFL MVP?
Josh Allen wins it. That's what you're asking, not who I would choose, but that's Josh Allen. He's going to win it. The media already anointed him the MVP several weeks ago, despite Lamar Jackson having better numbers. Allen's worthy for sure. Overcoming an average defense, he's putting points on the board consistently, and he's as tough as they come. I just think that Lamar has made his players better around him. And then there's the whole Saquon Barkley argument that I kind of alluded to earlier, that guy could really make a claim too, but it seems like it's a quarterback award, and like I said, the media already picked this one out a few weeks ago.
In the interest of time, I'll just quickly agree with you. It's Josh Allen. He's the first quarterback in NFL history to throw for over 40 touchdowns and commit fewer than 8 turnovers, and the Bills average 3 points per drive, which is one of the greatest totals in NFL history. Josh Allen's going to win it.
Make it 3 for 3. I think Josh Allen will win it as well, but I agree with you, Gator. I think Lamar Jackson should actually win it, but I think there's voter fatigue set in with Lamar, and he does get punished because he hasn't done well in the postseason, even though this is a regular season award. But I agree. I think Lamar Jackson's had the better regular season, and this is a regular season award. But in the end, Josh Allen will win it. All right, guys, where will Tyreek Hill be playing football next year?
So what are the requirements for Tyreek Hill to have this make sense? You have to have a good team, or he'll bitch. We've seen that. You have to have a good quarterback. You have to have cap space, and you have to have a real need at wide receiver. So next year, Tyreek Hill will be with the LA Chargers. They're good. They have a good quarterback. They have a 7th most cap space, and they could use an elite receiver. Tyreek Hill to the Chargers.
Yeah, I don't know how they're going to be able to move him. It's a massive cap hit of $28 million. For the Dolphins to take that on. I actually think he's going to end up apologizing publicly here in the next couple days, and they'll make amends, and he's going to spend next year with Miami and move on after that, because I think he's got an out in his contract after next season.
Very interesting, Gator. I was going to say, don't rule out Tyreek coming back to Miami next year, but if Mike McDaniel wants to take back control of that locker room, he needs to trade Tyreek Hill. Apparently, people have been showing up late all year long, and you can't let this happen. And so you kind of make an example out of Tyreek Hill and you trade him. If he is to get traded, I've got the Houston Texans doing it again. They went out and got Diggs last year, but they reworked his deal to make it only a 1-year contract. So Diggs is out of there this year. You saw what happened to Tank Dell. And if Nico gets hurt again, they have no receivers. They need a they've shown they'd like to make a big splash, help CJ Stroud out. I think if he does get traded, watch out for the Houston Texans. All right, first it was Kyle Shanahan, and now two more coaches have been rumored to possibly be traded. Kevin O'Connell of the Vikings and Mike Tomlin of the Steelers. Is a coach going to get traded this offseason?
I don't think so. I just think that, you know, really good situations for O'Connell and Tomlin in particular. But if I had to pick one, I would say it would be Tomlin, because there might be some fatigue in Pittsburgh running it back every year. And they haven't won a playoff game since 2016, if I'm not mistaken. So I could see that happening more likely than O'Connell. But, you know, because the whole Mike McCarthy situation with the Bears interviewing or wanting to interview him in Dallas saying no go, I don't think it happens this year.
So if I were a team and I were a GM, I would never trade for a coach for two reasons. One, as a qualified GM, I'd like to think I'd be a qualified GM. I would think that I'd be able to go out and hire a coach. Secondly, as a GM, I wouldn't want to give up any draft capital, which is usually what goes the other direction, to get a coach because this is how I build a team. And I don't think a coach is going to get traded. In the last 18 years, it's only happened twice. And one of those times, the coach that was traded, Sean Payton, was actually in retirement. So this was something that was kind of big around the turn of the century. Hasn't happened nearly as much. I don't think it happens this year.
Yeah, this is a lot of smoke, but I don't think there's any fire. I know it hasn't happened a lot, Doug, but the two times, look what Sean Payton's doing with Denver right now. They look great. And John Gruden brought a Super Bowl to Tampa. So I think, you don't want to give up draft capital ever, but if they find the right coach to turn around your organization, it's worth it. But I think to me, the crazy talk is trading Tomlin. He's criticized for underachieving by overachieving. Right. I didn't make it make sense. I don't understand.
I can't make it make sense.
All right, last one, guys. Justin Herbert said this week that Jim Harbaugh told him that Harbaugh can remember the day he was born. Thoughts?
Nothing that comes out of Jim Harbaugh's mouth surprised me anymore. I would sit with him every week, okay? It was some of the strangest experiences I've had in my professional career. It wouldn't shock me if Jim Harbaugh came out and said, not only do I remember being born this time.
This time, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, listen, Kang, sure he can. He can remember that, but he doesn't recall things that happened within the last couple of years when he's being questioned by the NCAA. I mean, the guy's a hell of a football coach. There's no question about it. But he's also a bit of a loon. Just a bit of one. Whatever he thinks gets him over with his team, hey, don't change, Jim. You go ahead and you be you. But in the end, his act has proven to wear out, and he wears out his welcome, and he'll move on to the next big thing. But enjoy it right now, Chargers, and you got a window, but the window and that clock is ticking already.
He's got to be the weirdest, best football coach ever. I mean, I'm pretty sure he's going to say next, he remembers his conception as well. Like, like, I remember the path, the swim I took, that I beat the other guys, whatever. I mean, it makes me think of George Costanza's line from Seinfeld. It's not a lie if you believe it. God bless you, Jim Harbaugh.
And that concludes the Wide Nine Omaha four down around the league blitz thingy. Hey, some key players getting healthy in time for the playoffs. What about you? Is this the year that you're going to get healthy or healthier, lose weight, get in shape, whatever it is? Do it with limited edition, Show Some Athletic Apparel, the Grit Line. Hoodies and long sleeve workout shirts in Honolulu blue, gray, and black with grit right there on the front. Go to showsomerespect.com to get yours. Show your team pride. Like I keep saying, it's the best workout gear. It's a Michigan-based company, high-quality stuff. I like it. Go to showsomerespect.com, and don't forget the discount code Doug at checkout for an extra 20%. Show some respect. It's S-H-O-S-U-M, respect.com. That's S-H-O-S-U-M, respect.com. Okay, Scott Anderson, 97.1 to ticket open lines, 248-539-9797. Ticket text to the same number. And look, we opened the show talking about the Lions and Chris Spielman interviewing for the GM job of the Jets. And, I guess, does that rattle you at all? Does that bother you? Not that Chris is doing this, but that they might lose Chris Spielman. Because I don't know that we can fully measure in any way what he does. It feels like Chris Spielman is responsible for a lot of what we're seeing. And people like to call and make the case. Hey, credit Chris Spielman. He gets votes for champ of the weekend. But when Chris Spielman's on the air, Chris Spielman always downplays his role.
Right. Let's say he gets hired by the Jets.
Yep.
And then he has a press conference, and they announce him, and then they're like, Chris, what are your responsibilities as general manager? He'd say, look, I'm just here to do whatever Woody wants me to do. I'm here for him. and we're just going to try to put the best team out there we can without actually explaining. Well, it's a general manager. I'm in charge of, you know, the draft and player personnel issues and all that. But yeah, he's always, since he's been with the Lions front office, he's been this kind of, you know, visionary that we don't really know what he does. We have, like I said, we speculate and we think he has tremendous influence. We all want the influence to be great. We say really good things about him. We like him. We don't want him to go.
So we go back to, is this something or is it nothing? Is this something? Would losing Chris Spielman be something or would losing Chris Spielman be nothing?
I think it's always going to be something if you lose somebody, but to what degree? I mean, would it be insurmountable? Could you not overcome it? Of course you could. And maybe the influence was so important in the early stages, and now that the thing is up and running, he can step away and let others, you know, do what they're going to do because he already did what they wanted them to do. How do you change the culture? Well, find the right people. And, you know, Dan Campbell's not going anywhere. Brad Holmes isn't going anywhere. Those are two guys that are going to stay. And those are the two that are responsible for building this team. You know, Chris had the vision of what the team should be. So can they afford to let him go? Of course they can.
I think the one way to describe Chris Spielman's current influence on the team is he's emerged as a cult hero of this resurgence because, like, Dan Campbell might be the hero. Jared Goff is the hero. Brad Holmes is the hero, the protagonist. But the cult hero in this whole thing is Spielman. And, you know, he was so beloved as a player. He did the virtual impossible. It's not virtually impossible, but he really crossed over from going from being an Ohio State guy to being a loved member of a Detroit team, like a loved one. I never heard anybody say, yeah, but he's an Ohio State guy. I never heard anybody say that about Chris Spielman. Like he did, I'm not going to call it impossible. It's not, but it's something that is really, really difficult to do. He is so beloved. Now he's got a role in the organization that is just, he's listed as a special assistant to the president.
I'll speak on my own behalf here. And I'm going to ask a question, give my answer, and I'm curious what you would say or what others would say. This is how much I like and appreciate and respect Chris Spielman. I feel like if you were, and because what my speculation is on his role in this whole resurgence of the Lions,
yep.
If they were to announce tomorrow that they are going to erect a statue in honor of Chris Spielman,
mm-hmm.
I would rather it have Chris Spielman in a suit than Chris Spielman wearing 54 ready to tackle somebody as far as the statue is concerned. That's how important I think he has been to getting this team to where it is. Because without what I think is his vision, I think this franchise has continued to flounder and just try to imitate and be, you know, whatever version they can be of somebody else's vision, which doesn't work out.
No.
I mean, it makes for a really boring statue, but that's how important I think he has been. I think he's been way more important because of the influence he has in the front office than what he was when he was a stud linebacker for this team during the 90s.
Yeah, look, I'd put him in the 54. I don't know that a statue of a dude in a suit who was a player really hits, but
of course not.
But to each their own. But that also, if you really believe that, then you really don't want to lose him.
Of course I don't want to lose him. Absolutely I don't want to lose him. But I understand that. You know, it's almost like he can say, look around, give a big sigh, and say, my work here is done if they win the Super Bowl, which is the ultimate. If they don't win the Super Bowl, would he, you know, if he's going to interview with the Jets, does he say, look, I'll interview with you guys, but I can't give you any, you know, I need to see this through in Detroit.
If they win the Super Bowl and people leave, it's not that I don't care, but I care significantly less. Thank you for your work here. We've reached the mountaintop. I've felt very comfortable in the idea that the Detroit Lions are a Super Bowl contender this year, next year, probably the year beyond. Feels like they've got a sustainable model here.
Mm-hmm.
As much as people are being sought, they're coming after our guys. I they could take a huge hit this offseason, which, again, if they win the Super Bowl, cool. But if they don't win the Super Bowl, I'm not going to like it. I'm not going to like losing a bunch of guys.
You don't want to lose anybody. You know, they've built something so great here in such a short amount of time that it hurts for sure. But I think Spielman's done his job, which was advise, you know, ownership to hire Brad Holmes and Dan Campbell.
Yep.
And as long as those two guys are here, I'm okay. Because the rest of it, it's going to happen. When you're a good organization, a good team, you're winning a ton of games, they're going to pick off guys off your tree because that's what people do in this league. But as long as Brad Holmes and Dan Campbell are here, I feel pretty good still, Doug.
248-539-9797. What is your concern level if Chris Spielman takes a job with the Jets? Interviewing for the GM spot. It's Carson Anderson, 97.1 The Ticket.